We're there? I'm sorry. I should just turn it on ahead of time and not have to worry about it. Well, I tell you what, I mean, it's amazing how fast the week goes. It just seems like I just got here, and tomorrow I'm heading out. Will you pray? Because I have to drive from here back to Pittsburgh. So it's about 8 hours. Tomorrow, my sending church is starting their missions conference on Thursday, and I'll be preaching Thursday night, so if you'd pray for that. But Wednesday night's like this meet and greet dinner thing, so I can be tired for that. I just got to be there. So just pray as I beat feet out of here tomorrow. Maggie is spending time with our grandkids. You know, I'm going to get there eventually. You know, my granddaughter's 4. And collectively, I probably have spent maybe 4 days with her. So as soon as I can, I'm going to slow down and go hug on her a little bit. Even though I'd like to be around her more, I'm just thankful for God's goodness and keeping my family safe and providing for them while we're in Africa. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Luke chapter 9. You guys always take such good care of us, and when we come here, enjoy the prophet's chamber and the meals and just the fellowship. And would you do me a favor? I really mean this, if you would. When I'm home on furlough, I have a pretty tight schedule. Sometimes it can be, 15, 16. I think that I started on this trip almost 3 weeks ago when it's done. By the time I get done, I will have preached 17 times. And honestly, I mean this with all my heart, I only want to do that if it's going to help. You know, and I can't do it by myself. I mean, I got to preach tomorrow night. You know, I don't even know what he wants me to do. I mean, I'm prepared, but he may decide to change it. And I just want to be sensitive to him. And then Sunday I'll be in Cincinnati and it'll be another church and another group of people. And God just doesn't do that just to keep my schedule full. You know, it's because he has a reason for it. So would you pray with me as I go that God would use that and that it's his message. I just get the one that to tell you about it. And so just pray that he would use that. But have you ever, if somebody in Spokane, Washington thinks that I'm an idiot, and I don't even know them. Steve's laughing. then you're not going to get really upset. I mean, you think about people in politics, and you really can't be in politics without being criticized. And whatever side wins, they always get up and they say, the people voted for me, but they forget that, usually only half of the people do and the other half people didn't, and they still have to deal with them, but they don't really care because they count them out. You know, they're only thinking about the ones that did. And they get criticized constantly. I mean, every day, people have something negative to say about somebody that's in politics, and you wonder, how can they do that? Because it really does matter who's saying it. Okay, if it's somebody you know that already doesn't like you, then you're not going to get all bent out of shape about it, right? Because who cares? Okay, but if it's somebody that cares about you, that really does matter when you weigh in what they say. And what we're going to look at tonight, we're just going to look at some sayings that Jesus said in regards to people's behavior. And when he said it or noticed this about these people's behavior, it carries an incredible amount of weight because of who it's coming from. We know that God loves us. We know that God cares about us. We know that God's not our enemy. Okay, he's on our side. Is there anybody that you can get any greater advice from than God? No. Oftentimes, we have that Bible sitting right there, and we can turn to it and glean from it anytime we want to do that. David called it his necessary food, okay? He mentioned the Word of God being that. All right, you can do that anytime, but it sits there. Do we look at it about who it's coming from? We're going to look at, as Jesus mentioned some of these things, and so if he pointed out this particular action or event in somebody's life, and if he took notice of it, then we should look at that Because one day we're going to stand in front of them and we're going to have to give an account of our lives. And we should look at that and say, wow, I have a desire. Do you have a desire for Jesus to be pleased with your actions at the end of the day? I do. Do you know he's watching? Do you know he's ever present to everybody in this room? Okay? And our heart's desire ought to want him to take notice of something that's from our heart that we do for him. Okay? So as he points these things out, I want you to stop and look at each event and say, what if God were to look at my life? What would he see? Because these were important enough for him to point it out. He said lots of things, but these, when you see them, I mean, it's a no-brainer. It caught his attention. It was important to him. So then that means today, if we care about what he thinks about us, then we ought to look at this. All right, let's begin in Luke chapter 9, and let's pray first. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the truth that's in it. And Lord, since we know that these things are from you, this is what you thought about these events. Lord, help us to be tenderhearted about it. Help us, Lord, to right now, Lord, just to open our own heart with a desire that you work inside of it. Lord, that you would show us really what our intents and our thoughts are. And Lord, you look deep down in the root of our spirit. And Lord, I pray that when we leave here tonight, that we would have a desire to have these things noticed in our life in a way that pleases you. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being very kind and forgiving in our lives. I pray that you would help as we look at your word tonight. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be present and you would apply this to our heart. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Luke chapter 9, and I want you to look in verse 88. We're going to start there. I'm sorry, 88. That's because there is no 88. That's because I circled it and it looks like it ain't. All right. In Luke chapter 9, verse 38. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child, and lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, for he foameth again, bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought the disciples to cast him out, and they could not. So he went to the disciples, and they weren't able to do that. And in verse 41, and Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. I tell you what, if you were the disciples, okay, and this man brought you his son and you weren't able to help him, and then Jesus uses the word, it says here, faithless, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Boy, I mean, that's some words that kind of have a sting to them. May I tell you something? No matter who we are in this room, the Lord does have an opinion about us with your name attached to it. And the Lord has an opinion about me with my name attached to it. And may I tell you something? He has the right and the authority to say whatever he wants, even if we don't like it. You know? I mean, we might think that we're pretty good. And then Jesus says something like that and realize, whoo, maybe I'm not okay. You know? I mean, maybe I need to look inside. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I was in a crowd and he said something like that, it'd make you look inside a little bit. Verse 42, and as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. Wouldn't you like to have been there? I mean, he was in authority. He had control over that situation, and the devils were throwing this kid down, and Jesus walked up. I mean, he has control of the universe, over the unclean spirits, over everything, because he's God. And he rebuked that spirit, and that spirit got out of there. Okay? And verse 43, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone at all these things Jesus, all these things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, now look at this, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Wow. I mean, that's like something I'd say to my kid. In Bemba, there's a word that would cover this phrase. It's called mumfwa. okay? And if you're talking to somebody and you're wondering if you're getting through to them, you say, mumfwa. That means, are you listening? Okay? I've said that 100 times. Are you listening? All right? That's what Jesus is saying. Let these sayings sink down into your ears. Remember, it matters from whom this is coming from. Okay? Some people can say that, and big deal. God says that you better listen. All right? Okay? All right? And it said, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest? Okay, so we already know that Jesus has an opinion. He already voiced his opinion about their faith earlier. Okay, he even told them to pay attention to what he said as he talked about his death. Verse 47, so verse 46, then there arose reasoning among them which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart. Now, I underlined all that. So right now, in this room, Jesus can perceive your heart. Well, you're saying, boy, I hope he's fast tonight. You know, I want to get out of here. You know, as he begins to bring his word forward and you have to deal it in your heart, he knows what you're thinking. He can perceive that. Okay? So it says, and Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And he taught them a lesson. He made some statements that were really important that they should listen to. He was able to look into their heart and get down to them. You can look at me, I can look at you, and we can lift each other up. We can say good things about each other, but may I tell you something? Just because you say good things about me doesn't make me a good Christian. And just because I say good things about you doesn't make you a good Christian. See, God can do something we can't do. He can look and hear. And when he sees and hears, it's important, and he does take notice. He is paying attention. And when he notices something, think about all the things he could have put in that Bible. When he notices something, it's because it stood out to him, and it was important to him, and he had it recorded. And he said, I noticed this about this person's action and this person's behavior. And Me, God, am saying that I was pleased with that. Wow. Throughout the day today, would God stop as he walked with us and said, hey, wait a minute, world, stand still for just a second. I want to say something. See what he did just there? That made me happy. You see what happened just right there? That pleased me. So let's kind of take this journey here and kind of lay the foundation to it. Let's go, if you would, and go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and I want you to look at verse 41. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against a treasury. Now, how would you like that if during the offering time the pastor followed the plate as it went through? And Jesus sat over against the treasury. And forget about the pastor. This is God here. Do you believe that Jesus and God are the same? Give me an amen. Okay. All right. It says here, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Now, how is he able to tell that? Maybe you could tell it by how they were dressed. Maybe you could tell by how they acted. But he was also able to tell because he could look inside their heart. Because what you could tell on the outside through clothing and maybe how they acted, you could not tell their intent. or why they were giving it, or whether or not that giving was from their heart. Only God could do that. Okay? So, and Jesus said over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor, and I underlined that, widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto them, he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So follow this story. Jesus is sitting down here. He's watching them put money into the treasury. He noticed all these rich men. And again, maybe they looked nice. Maybe they acted like they were important. And as each person put that money into the treasury, he was able to look inside. Remember, he knows every thought. He looked right. I mean, he can do that. Do you understand that God, the creator of the universe, can do that and does do that, and he's keeping an account? He looked inside, and he saw what they were thinking as they put that money into the treasury. And he knew why they were doing it. And then there comes this poor lady. And she threw in all that she had. How did he know that, Pastor? Do you think she said, hello, church, I'm getting ready to put my all my savings in here. Did she say that? Nope. She didn't say that. She just put it in there. God looked and said, that's all she has. And it was something that he took them off to the side. He stopped what he was doing. He took them off to the side, sat down, and gave them a little lesson about giving. It was important enough for him to stop right there and say, hey, I want to point out something to you. Since you're following me and you want to learn, let me teach you something today. Do you see that lady? Out of all the people that came in here today, who do you think gave the most? Maybe they had some ideas. Well, maybe this person, maybe this person, and maybe this person. And the Lord said, nope. She's standing back way in the corner with that torn dress, a shawl with holes in it, worn out shoes. She did. Can you imagine him saying, her? And the Lord said, yeah, because she's going to go home and she doesn't have anything else. Now, may I tell you something tonight? It's not the money. God doesn't need her money. Doesn't need mine either. But he does need this. In that day, God had this. Whether it's our time, whether it's our money, whether it's our resources, our things, it's important to God, the intent of how we use it. It's important to him enough that he pointed that out. Why you give, why you participate in a church, what's your heart? When you come through those doors, when you open that door, do you really want to hear the word of God? Do you really want God to do something in your heart? Do you really, really want to serve him? Do you really, I mean, whatever he says, here am I, Lord, send me. In our giving, what's important to God is what's behind that, and it's our heart. Enough to where God mentioned that and said, man, I was impressed with that widow lady's heart. Because it was her intent and her giving that she would do that for me. That widow lady would actually do that for me. So he looked at it and said, he took that and put it along with her faithfulness and her love for him and says, this means something to me. So since the Lord mentioned it, Pastor, since he stopped what he was doing and pointed this out to his disciples, then maybe we ought to stop and say, okay, for just a minute, God, here's my heart. When I'm serving you, when I'm giving you of my time or my money or my resources, what do you see in my heart? And then help me in my heart. Help it to just be about you. And may I tell you something? If it's about him, you won't get discouraged. You won't be let down. And you won't give up. Because you're not doing it for anybody else but him. And if it's for him, there shouldn't be anything that we wouldn't give. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now listen, this is the Son of God who's seen everything. He saw the sun pop into nowheres. Okay? All right? When he said, let there be light, he was there when it happened. When the tree sprung up out of the ground, he was there. When the waters filled in the ocean, he was there. I mean, out of all the things in the world that God could marvel at, it's a centurion who had somebody in his family that was sick, went unto Jesus and said, you know, would you heal him? And Jesus said, okay, come on, I'll go to your house. And the guy said, wait a minute. I'm not worthy. May I tell you something? You and I are not worthy. Okay, the day that we forget that, I'm not worthy. The reason why I'm not worthy, which means I'm going to treat you with some grace and some kindness. I'm going to be forgiving. Again, that doesn't mean we condone sin. You know why? I'm not worthy. Okay? I'm not worthy. All right, do you know, and it's just, I want you to understand this, because I've said this to other people before. When somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I appreciate that message, I know what you mean. I know that you mean God. But still, it scares me. Because I'm not worthy of that. No way. If you get something out of this, if you knew me, you'd get up and run out of that door. And by the way, if I knew you, I wouldn't come here either. And that's just the truth. You know why? We're not worthy. We're not worthy. And he said, listen, you don't have to come to my house. I'm a nobody. Man, I believe. All you have to do is say the word. Save yourself the trip. You can do it right here. Man, you're a busy person. You don't have to come to my house. And Jesus, when he heard that, he stopped. Now, do you believe that the Bible lies? No, the Bible doesn't lie. Do you believe that God just uses words just to use them? No. So when it says here, it says here in verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. If he didn't really marvel, then this isn't true. Okay, so he really marveled at this. It took him back. He was impressed. All right? I mean, it was like, wow. Okay, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, so he turned around just like he did before with the widow lady. He turned around and said, okay, lesson time. Okay? Turn around to those that followed him, all right? Okay? And he said this, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That is not a light statement. He did not exaggerate it or embellish it. That was the absolute truth. That man standing in front of Jesus at that moment had the greatest faith that he had seen up to this point and pointed out, not even in Israel. Wow. So you know what that lets me know? Not only is my giving something that's important to the Lord and how I do it, with my time, my resources, and my heart, my faith is important. Do you know every day when we go through life, you have to exercise faith? Tomorrow, it may be your house that burns down. It may be your appendix that bursts. And life's going to take us down a road that we may not understand everything that's happening. And at that moment, we have to decide whether we really believe this thing that God loves you and that God can work good even through bad things. That being overwhelmed as a Christian is words that we probably shouldn't use, because how do you become overwhelmed when you're walking with the God of the universe? But see, we lose faith and we forget that he's there and we let go of his hand, and then you're walking alone. Faith is important. Man, Pastor, could you imagine what it'd be like to just this church who's ironically named Faith Baptist? What if God looked down from heaven and said, man, I haven't seen anything like that. Those people that go to that church, they actually believe me. And they trust me. And I notice that. And I'm proud of them. So here's another spot that we can take our heart and say, Lord, how's my faith? What would you say about my faith today? You know, the Bible says either Psalms or Proverbs, pastor would know it. A good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. So tomorrow morning, everything that I do, the car drive, who I'm going to meet, whether I get to that meeting on time or I don't, the people that's going to be in that meeting, the people that's going to hear me preach tomorrow, all of that has already been ordered by God Almighty. And all I have to do is have the faith to put one foot in front of the other and trust as he connects the dots. And that's faith. Okay, let's go look at another one. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 26, verse 7. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. Can you imagine that? And Christian, God's people, you know, feeling like this, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Wow. Unfortunately, I've seen that pastoring a few times, you know. I mean, this lady walks in, okay? It says here, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head. See, the problem is they were judging without having the ability of seeing the intent of the heart, and therefore they judged wrong. Okay? It says, but when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Now, think about this. By this time, Jesus has already done some pretty incredible things to solidify who he was, and they're second-guessing him. That's scary. Okay? Verse 10, When Jesus understood it, now when did he understand that, Pastor? Do you think they said out loud? Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. It'd be kind of dumb for them to do that. Perhaps it was something muttered under their breath in their heart. It says when Jesus understood that, well, wouldn't that be kind of, man, I tell you what, I mean, if Jesus walked with us and he was here again today with his disciples, and you were one of those people that followed him, wouldn't that be, that'd clean you up really good to know he could actually read everything you did. Okay? Once he understood it, in other words, he looked into their heart. It says this, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? They're like, I didn't say anything. All right? For she hath wrought a good work upon me, for ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, now look at this, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial for him, for her. Wow. Man, do you think Jesus is accidentally using words there? Do you think he meant it? When the God of the universe says this and he makes a decree, it's going to happen, okay? All right? It says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. That means that Jesus recognized her service. She was doing that for him. Later on in the same rendition of the story, Jesus told him, you know why she did this? This lady had a past. Okay? By the way, we all have a past. This lady had a past. And she found somebody that loved her in spite of her past. And she couldn't get over that he loved her. And this meant something to her. And when she opened that ointment, poured it out, it was because she was thankful. She was serving him. She was anointing him from her heart. The service was from her heart. May I tell you something? Remember that story where the disciples were trying to figure out who's going to sit on the right hand of Jesus? And I mean, their mother got involved in it. How embarrassing. You know? I mean, you know, you're one of the Lord's disciples and your mother's got to put her 2 cents in. Hey, pick my kids. You know, I mean, that would have been a little embarrassing. Remember that they were all trying to say, am I going to be able to sit on his right hand? Who are you going to pick? May I tell you something? We are going to be surprised at the people that God chooses to fill spots like that. Don't look for it to be the famous evangelists. Don't look for me either. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find people we would have never thought. Because God looks at not the amount of it, but the quality of what we do for him from our heart. Enough so that he said, hey, pay attention to this. Wherever this goes, people are going to know about her. So these are statements that the Lord is making. If he's making them, they're important. He's pointing out actions that he's observed, and he himself said, that pleased me. Then maybe we ought to take our service and just hand it to the Lord and say, hey, would you look at my service tonight? I want it to be pleasing to you. Do you know every once in a while, I mean, you don't have to be a crier. But if you're listening to a song about the cross or hearing a message about the cross or just driving down the road and reflecting on the nails going to his hands, listen, if it don't get a hold of you and wring your heart out, something's wrong. Bad wrong. And you ought to stop and you ought to do something about it. And if there's anything, and I mean this, and it's not me, guys, it's the Bible. If there's anything that you wouldn't do for Christ, open that heart and say, ask God this question, why? Why do I feel that way? Because he's worthy of it all. Right? He's worthy of it all. Okay. Let's go one more. We'll wind it down here. Let's go to let's do this one. Go to John. Actually, two more. Sorry, I lied. All right, two more. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 23. John chapter 13, verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there, is this what I want? Hold on. I'll find it. Where'd I go here? Oh, no, you're right. It's not Luke. It's John. John 13, 23. John 13, 23. Okay, that's it. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Okay, take that. Go over to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 26. This is when Jesus was on the cross. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own. And you can find this again in John chapter 20 and verse 2. And then there's one other mention of it in the book of John. So 3-4 times in the book of John, it mentions this disciple. So you have this group of disciples, and I said, and you said, hey, that disciple over there, and I'm saying which one? And you're going to identify a disciple. The writer of this book identifies that disciple as saying, whom Jesus loved. Okay? Do you notice who wrote this book? Who? John. So is John tooting his own horn? No. God wouldn't let him do that. Okay? All right? So it's only in the book of John that it says this. John's writing it down when he's trying to point. So there's a disciple that's at the cross with Mary. Okay? And Jesus is on the cross. He looks at that disciple, and the Bible identifies him as a disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, doesn't Jesus love everybody? Right? But why is it saying that this is the disciple Jesus loved? He does love everybody. But not everybody's relationship with him is the same. Do you notice that John is the only one standing there that's mentioned a disciple? They're gone. And when Jesus was at the Lord's Supper, it was this disciple that was leaning on Jesus. The only thing that stops us in our relationship of how close you can get to the Lord is ourselves. And even though Jesus didn't say this himself verbally, he allowed it to be written in the Bible, which means he's okay with that statement of John saying, when you wanted to know who was doing a certain thing in the book of John, it was recorded, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And if God wasn't okay with it, it wouldn't be in that book. So devotion's important. Understand that Jesus is on the cross. His mother, he cares about his mother. He wants to make sure his mother's going to be okay. And there was one. And only one. I don't think Jesus ever questioned whether or not he'd be there. Because he earned that name of being the one Jesus loved. And Jesus could count on him. Even though everybody else was afraid, this man stood there and he stood tall. And he was there when the Lord needed him. So it seems like devotion is important. And maybe what we need to do is, man, I wonder, do you think you ever let the Lord down, or am I the only one that's ever done that? Okay, well, I'll raise my hand. Okay, I will tell you, I have let the Lord down. But what if He really needs us? You know what it was like to see all the other disciples take off? I don't want to do that. Boy, wouldn't you just love one day to be in a conversation and overhear the Lord say, man, I can really count on Him. And if somebody else were to say, who's that? Well, wow, that's the one that Jesus loved because of His devotion. And here's the last one. If you would go to, let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. And I like how He repeated that twice. You know, because it shows that He's not mad at her. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Sometimes in ministry, we let the world and all of its problems, in our busyness, man, I mean, it's amazing how quick the world can make you busy and tired and weighed down. Do, 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 go, 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 even if it's ministry. Do you know you can go, go, go 100 miles an hour in ministry and your heart be not in it and it don't count? You get to have them go, man, that was a waste. Didn't mean it. You know? So it is important. Quality is better in quantity sometimes when it comes to serving the Lord. And if it's just motion, it's just do, and it's just go. And that's what the Lord was saying here. He's saying that you're troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Again, this is a statement that the Lord is making. So you need to pay attention to it. But this one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now look at that statement. What does that mean? Which shall not be taken away from her. He's pointing out that the fact that she's sitting here and she's just listening to the Lord, even though Martha's in the kitchen doing this and doing that, and she's just sitting with Jesus and just listening to Him talk. And Jesus said she chose the better part. May I tell you something, guys? If you've lost your heart for ministry and you've lost your heart for service and you've lost your heart, yeah, you come to church, but it's been a long time since you got anything out of it and you don't feel like you used to feel. May I tell you something? That should scare you. And you should ask yourself why. Maybe it's because we're just doing and doing and doing and doing, but not getting along with the Lord. Can you imagine what spirit-filled service would be instead of just go, 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 go? And He pointed out that what she did that day would not be taken away from her. Wow. That means it was important. And this represents relationship. In a relationship, you can't blame it on the church. Can't blame it on the preacher. If our relationship's grown cold between us and the Lord, and we're just putting one foot in front of the other, that's us. So go find a spot where it's just you and him. And don't you leave till you figure out why. It's not all about feelings, but there ought to be some there. I mean, you ought to miss them. You ought to love them. You ought to like going to church. You ought to like being around God's people. You ought to like doing and being in ministry church. And if that's just become mechanical, then ask God why. And maybe you just need to just look at him a little bit. And just sit there with him. Think about who he is. Don't think about your problems and what you got to do and all this stuff. Just you and him and say, Lord, I've had enough down here. I'm listening. Tell me a story. Whew. Man, that was important to Jesus. So much that he said, that's not going to be taken away from her. So, we've gone through this. And there's no sense in me rehashing it. Just something that I thought about as I looked at these things and thought, wow, when Christ says something, when he pointed these things out, and he didn't do it to that level very often, that, man, I love you guys. I mean, even though it honestly feels like I never left here. And this church is such a blessing to so many people and the heritage that it has. And I love you guys. I love your pastor. I love coming back here. It's like family. And there's no better place than with just family than just say, Lord, do something in us. So would you do that with me tonight? Just back through this list yourself. And at each spot, stop and say, okay, Lord, here you go. Let me know what you think about my service, about my faith, about my giving, about my devotion, and about my relationship with you. We'll pray and turn over to Pastor. Father, thank you for your word.